Next Sunday will be an important date in the ongoing life of the Central Presbyterian Church. We will be in the midst of a lay renewal. For some of us, this will be no new event. Central has had several lay renewals in the past, and those of us who know about them are looking forward to this one with a great deal of anticipation and excitement. For those of you who have never participated in such an event, you're in for a lot of fun and some real spiritual enrichment. Let me share briefly with you just what a lay renewal is. If you were raised in a small town or a rural environment or maybe even in a Baptist church, you have experienced something we call a revival. Or if you were in a Methodist church, they used to call them protracted meetings, and they were protracted. Now, the reason they always had these in August back where I came from was because by then the farmers had laid their crops by. Now, if you don't know what that means they're through plowing, they're through chopping the weeds out, and they're waiting for the harvest. And while they're doing that, there's a period of time when they don't have a great deal to do. So in August, when that time comes, they have a protracted meeting or a revival. Now, when I moved out to West Texas, they had a thing we call camp meetings. Out there, the population is sparse and it's just scattered all over everywhere. So one of the ranchers will make a place available and everybody will come with tents and they'll camp out and bring in a preacher. And they have all kinds of activities for the children all day. And they have meetings in the morning and preaching at night. They eat together frequently and it's just a lot of fun. Well, we're going to do something like that, except we're going to call it a lay renewal. Now, I don't know why we call it that. It's not the lay people who need renewing any more so than us preachers and the professional people on the staff. Maybe they call it a lay renewal because most of the people who are coming will be lay people. Anyway, a lay renewal is for everybody. It's for us preachers. It's for the staff at the church. It's for the elders and the deacons and all of us together to renew our commitment to the Lord. Now, with that background, I want to share with you this morning several scriptures that are relevant. The first scripture is from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And there we read this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, all of us are pulling something this morning. We may be pulling a damaged marriage. We may be pulling children who are not turning out the way we had hoped. We may be pulling a commitment to the material things of the world. We may be pulling an illness. But all of us, in one way or another, labor and are heavy laden. Jesus says, "I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Now, a yoke is an instrument designed for pulling a load. And he says, "My yoke makes pulling your load easier." And there's one reason for that. Most yokes are what we call a double yoke. And Jesus yokes himself with us. He helps us pull our burdens. And he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, that statement in the Greek is in the imperative. And that imperative means to do something and to keep on doing it. Take my yoke upon you. Keep on taking that yoke. You see, we never get enough of Jesus. We can never have a relationship to him that is too deep or too intense. And I don't know about you, but I find I need to keep putting on his yoke. It's so easy to put on the yoke of the world. It is so easy to drift away from the things of God, to respond to the desires of the flesh. It's so easy to let the things of the world begin to captivate, dominate my heart and my life. So I need to keep on putting on the yoke of Jesus. I need to keep on learning from him about how to live the Christian life, about how to love my neighbor, how to love my family, how to be a good parent, how to be a good child, to be a good husband. Especially, I need to be yoked with Jesus Christ. I need this time for renewal that we're going to have.
this time for concentrating on the things of God and to keep on coming to Jesus afresh. Don't you need that too? Now let me suggest that if you feel you really don't need that, it probably means you really need it very much. But tied in with this scripture reading is the second one I'd like to share with you. And this time it's from Ephesians 5:18, where we read, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." And again, it's in the imperative, which means be filled and keep on being filled with the Spirit. Now let me share something with you that you may not understand about the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. First of all, you cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit, without that Spirit working in your heart. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, we read, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." When you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit was moving on your heart, moving on your soul, moving on your mind. And it was the help of the Spirit, the impetus of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit that caused you to confess, "Jesus Christ is my Lord." So in the beginning, you were what the Bible calls sealed by the Holy Spirit for your regeneration, for your salvation. Now that's what St. Paul writes in Ephesians 1:13 and 14. He says, "In Jesus you were sealed." Now do you know what a seal is? A seal is a stamp that you put on a document to guarantee that that document is authentic. And Paul writing in Ephesians says, "In Jesus you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." Why? Because he says it's the guarantee, the assurance, the guarantee of our inheritance, he writes, until we acquire possession of it. So you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, which guarantees your inheritance of eternal life in Jesus. Now that's the first thing the Spirit does. It helps you to become a Christian. Without the Spirit, you cannot accept Jesus. It's only with the urging, the impetus, the support, the leading of the Spirit that you can say Jesus is Lord. And that seals you for heaven. Now that brings me to the second thing which I want to say about the Spirit, which is this: being sealed with the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit are two different things. Dr. Harold Lindzell, who is one of the leading evangelical Christians in America today, he was formerly editor of the Christianity Today magazine. He is the author of the Harper Study Bible. And he writes, all believers are sealed by the Spirit when they're regenerated. That is, you've got that stamp of authenticity on you when you are saved by the Spirit. However, he says, not all believers are filled with the Spirit, but some remain in a carnal state, leading a defeated life. Now, that's kind of interesting. You can be sealed with the Spirit, but still be a carnal Christian leading a defeated Christian life. And then Dr. Lindzell goes on to add this thoughtful statement: a permanent carnal state is evidence of an unsaved condition, according to Romans 8:6. And then he adds this further statement: yet the goal and ideal of the Christian life is always to be filled and to be controlled by the Spirit. So you can be sealed with the Spirit, but not be filled with the Spirit. And the goal is to be filled, to keep on being filled, and to be controlled by the Spirit. To be the person God wants us to be, we must move beyond being a carnal Christian who's in captivity to the world, living a defeated life, to become a Spirit-filled Christian. Now let me add a third thing about being filled with the Spirit. And that's this: I find it very difficult to stay filled with the Spirit. I think I must have a spiritual leak in my soul. You see, I can be filled with the Spirit one day, living a Spirit-controlled life, but the very next day, the Spirit is no longer in control of my life.
I'm no longer living a Spirit-controlled life for the simple reason I have taken that control away from God, have taken it back to myself, and in the flesh, being a carnal Christian now, I am controlling my own life. Do you have that experience too? My spiritual cup leaks. So the admonition of Paul to be filled and to keep on being filled is really relevant to me. For that reason, I need this renewal next week. I need a time, a specific time to recommit, to rededicate my life to Jesus, to be filled and refilled with the Spirit. I suspect that's true in your life too. So the lay renewal is for all of us who want to be more than carnal Christians, but that we want to be filled with the Spirit, who want to lead a triumphant life, who don't want to be defeated Christians living a carnal life. Now, the third scripture that I want to bring to our attention is the one we read earlier in our Bible reading for this morning. There we read how Andrew came into contact with Jesus, and in that contact, he became convinced that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah of the Jews. And he spent some time with him. And then he came back to his brother Simon Peter and he said, "Simon, I have found the Christ. I have found the Messiah." And the Bible says, and he brought him to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Well, you know, it's exciting to see the consequence of that little act. Peter was to become a great leader in the Christian church. We don't hear a great deal about Andrew after the crucifixion of Jesus, after the close of the Gospels. But we do hear a lot about the work of Peter. And he wrote two books of the New Testament, all because his brother brought him to Jesus. Now let me ask you, is there somebody you love and care about who is not a Christian? Is there somebody who is very precious to you who's not in the Lord? Could you use the lay renewal as an excuse to bring them to Jesus? Is there some neighbor, some friend, some business associate that may be struggling with problems, whose life may be burdened down, who has a desperate need for a Savior, a desperate need to be saved? Could you bring them to Jesus? Wouldn't it be wonderful if through our care and our concern, we brought people to the lay renewal, and in the process, they got saved or got renewed in their faith or got recommitted to the Lord? Maybe they've got a marriage that's in trouble, and here, putting Jesus into that marriage, suddenly there was a healing. Or if there's a brokenness between two people, suddenly with Jesus as a part of the formula, those lives are put back together. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? And wouldn't it make a great difference in their lives? And wouldn't it make us feel just great that it happened because we had a little share in it? And who knows that there's some Peter or some Calvin or some Luther or some Wesley or some Billy Graham out there that needs to be brought to Jesus so God can use their lives. You know, Jesus was once preaching and teaching, and the Bible says he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Now, the people that you and I know who need Jesus are the harvest. And sometimes God sends harvesters. He sends laborers into the harvest. And that's what he's doing at Central. He's sending people here who can be harvesters for the people we are concerned about. And what we need to do then is to be responsible and bring them, those who we're concerned about, and trust God to do a mighty work by the power of the Holy Spirit through these harvesters that God's sending to us. Now, let me bring one final scripture to our attention, and I want to share it with you. In Matthew 10, 32, 33, Jesus says this, "So, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven."
Now, the question I would like to ask you is this. Are you, by your witness, by your life, are you acknowledging Jesus before the world, before men, before your friends, your associates? Is your life all that you want it to be? Are you living the kind of a witness that confesses to everybody, I belong to Jesus? In all fairness, I would have to say that I'm not always what I ought to be, and especially not what I want to be. Now, if you share that feeling with me, I think it means that we both need this time of renewal. The fact is, you see, we run a real risk when we put our lives in the hands of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if the world hated Him, it'll hate us. He said, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And the saved person living out his life in the world is not going to be approved by the world. I don't know about you, but I want to be saved. I want to have eternal life. And that means that I must come unto Jesus and take His yoke upon me, and to keep on taking it. It means that I must be filled and keep on being filled with the Spirit. It means that I must fulfill the Great Commission by bringing others to Jesus, just as the Bible says Andrew brought Peter to Him. And it means that I must put myself at risk for Jesus Christ, confessing to the world that I belong to Him. Let's pray for this renewal. You got a prayer book months ago. I hope you're using it. Just recently, you got in the mail this book that's got the schedule of all the events of the lay renewal. Let's recommit ourselves to Jesus Christ, putting ourselves more and more at risk to be His, because He says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. But if you don't, there's no way I can confess you before Him. Let us pray. Let us pray.